Welcome to a Durban Christian Center South Ministry Messings. We hope you enjoy this inspiring word from our senior pastor, Pastor Johnny Grobler.
I want to speak to you today about the covenant of love. We have celebrated in this last week, we have celebrated Valentine's, and I see some of the couples sitting a little bit closer to each other than you normally do. I see a wonderful smile of joy, and you know, it's a wonderful celebration. Love is something beautiful. Love, the song of love, never grows old. The song of love never grows out of time. It's ever enduring. Amen. Love is a beautiful thing. I was remembering yesterday that old song, Love is a Beautiful Song. La, 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 la. How many of you remember that song? Love is a beautiful song. La, 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 la. Love is a wonderful thing. And for those of you who are too young, shame. Amen. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. It is a beautiful thing. And we celebrated love and, of course, the covenant of love and the covenant of marriage that God has given. And, you know, when we look at how God expressed love, He always continuously expressed love through covenant. He expressed love through deep commitment. And when you look at that, you realize the covenant of God's love is something wonderful. Because a covenant is deeper than friendship. A covenant is greater than a contract. And it is more enduring than a romance. Thank God, love is best expressed through covenant because it is binding. It is a total commitment. It is all in. It is unending and sacrificial. It is everything I have for everything you have. It is blind to any imperfections. Thank God, love never keeps a record of wrongs. Amen. It's unselfish. It's kind. And it's all encompassing. Thank God when we have love and we cause the love of God to fill our hearts, love heals, doesn't it? Amen. And love brings a total peace. And when we truly love our partner, we can heal their pain. Amen. Love brings a bit, you know, I think of that song, I can see clearly now the pain is gone. Amen. Because that's what love does. It opens your eyes. It fills your heart with beauty. Amen. And it fills you with strength. Hallelujah. And, you know, we are very good, and we live in a society that's very good at finding love. Amen. You find some people, by the time they get married, they've been in love 50 times. Amen. People are very good at finding love, but very bad at maintaining love. And you see, the truth is we need to learn how to maintain that love. We need to learn how to deepen that love. And if you want to continue in love, you must continuously see your partner through love spectacles. We need to put on love spectacles. Amen. You say, what is a love spectacle? Well, it's like putting Polaroid glasses on. Amen. When it cuts out the glare and you see only the good things. Amen. You must see only the good. You know, I often say that it takes no faith to see the faults of a person. But it takes faith and love to see the good in a person. Amen. So if you really want to stay in love, you need to see the good in each other. Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Hallelujah. We need to keep our eyes on the beautiful attributes of your partner. If you keep seeing the beauty in your partner, you'll fall deeper in love. Somebody say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. For my love to last, I must compliment often. I must appreciate continuously. And I must express admiration regularly. I've learned in life, I'm not my wife's accuser. I'm her defender and protector. Hallelujah. That's who God called me to be. And it's so important that we realize that God has given us that partner. You know, Sister Nelly says something. She says, before you get married, you must have your eyes wide open. But once you're married, half closed. Amen. Hallelujah. God has designed marriage to be a beautiful experience of comfort, companionship, understanding, support. And that's what God has given us. When I look at Paul, Paul gives us a great admonition of how to treat people. He says in Philippians 2:3, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. I mean, that's a whole three marriage manuals written. If you can just do that. Consider your partner better than you. Amen. Do nothing for selfish. I'm not here for what I can get. I'm here for what I can give. Amen. And if I'm going to enter this marriage, if I'm going to enter a relationship of covenant, covenant takes sacrifice. Amen. You know, you see that in Psalm 50. God even speaks about the covenant that he has with us is based on sacrifice. Psalm 50. 50 verse 5, gather my saints together to me, those who have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. Jesus said, unless a seed falls to the ground and dies, it abides alone. Amen. You have to die to your selfish ambition. Die to the past life. When you want to get married, there's no more boys nights out. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When you get married, those days are over. The two have become one. I ask myself, why do you want to go? Then what, no woman can come. What do you want to do? Amen. You know, it's a life together. It's a new life. Somebody say amen. You know, when this speaks about being unselfish, selfishness is the graveyard of true love. Amen. That's where you can bury it very quickly because love does not seek its own. A true lover knows the dream of his partner. And I ask you, when last have you fulfilled the dream of your partner? You know, we get married in the beginning, you talk, you got the dreams, you know what your partner wants, you know what you want. But today, do you know the dream of your partner? Do you know what the aspirations are? Are you working with them to achieve it? May God make you a true lover. Hallelujah. May you know what your partner really is. Say, well, I'm old. Listen, he's still got dreams. I'm amazed at Pastor Fred. He turned 80. He built his new house. I said, Pastor Fred, you 80? Ah, he's planning. He's building his ultimate house. 80 years old. I thought, Pastor Fred, you're going to be dead by the time the plans are passed. I'm just being honest. But you know what? He still had a dream. Amen. And he fulfilled that dream. And he's living in that house. Hallelujah. Today he's got another dream. Amen. Praise God. You're never too old to dream. You must never take your partner for granted. Your partner is not a grant. Your partner is a blessing. Amen. Hallelujah. Man, that was a good saying. Get me the tape. Amen. Your partner is a blessing from God. Hallelujah. And we must know their dream. And, you know, as I'm preparing and I'm looking to God this week and talking about love and talking about the covenant, I felt God wanted me to talk about the covenant of love. And, of course, you think right away about Jonathan and David and how they entered covenant and how there was an exchange of garment. There was an exchange of armor, exchange of the sword and the spear, etc. And I was thinking that God wants to speak about that. But as I spoke, I heard God say something to me. And I believe that's God's word to you this morning. That marriage is a covenant, not a competition. Amen. It's a place where you bring your best for the benefit of the other. And so many times, especially when couples first get married, it is a great loggerheads competition to see who's going to be the groot baas. Amen. Who's going to rule? Who's going to organize the finance? It's very important that we know each other's strengths. Somebody say amen. So love is not a competition. It's a mistake of competition when you start struggling for superiority. When God places people in your life, it's not to be a competition. It's to be a blessing to you. Amen. And so I went and I read about David and Jonathan, and I just felt the Lord say, read further. And I started reading. I want you to read that with me. 1 Samuel 18 and verse 5. Of course, we know God anoints Saul as king, and he comes into his kingdom, and Saul finds David, and he makes him a great general. And we read that here, so David went out wherever Saul sent him and behaved wisely. And Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people and also in the sight of Saul's servants. Now it happened as they were coming home when David was returning from the slaughter of the Philistines that the woman came out of all the cities of Israel singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tambourines, with joy, and with musical instruments. So the woman sang as they danced, and they said, Saul has slain his thousands, and David his tens of thousands. Then Saul was very angry, and the saying displeased him, and he said, they have ascribed to David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed only 1,000. So what more can he have but the kingdom? And so Saul eyed David from that very day forward. You see, Saul made the mistake of competing with those who God placed in his life to bless him. God put David in Saul's life to bring expansion to the kingdom. God put David in Saul's life to be a great general, to be the reason for success. If Saul had just realized, man, God had chosen me. God had made me king. Amen. I don't have to be threatened by anybody. I am who I am by God's grace. He's anointed me. He has made me king. Instead of Saul realizing who he is, he became threatened by who David was. And I want to say to you today, God created you and there's only one you in the world. Hallelujah. This is not about success. This is not about competition. This is about you being who God called you to be. Amen. You can be as good as you are. You'll never be a Johnny Chrobler. Never in your wildest dreams can you be me. Hallelujah. Never in your wildest dreams can anybody be you, because God created you. You see, this is about fulfillment of God's purpose on your life. It's not about competition. Somebody say, amen. Hallelujah. So God gave to Saul this great warrior, this great general. And I can't help but think, if Saul had recognized the strength that God had put in his life and allowed David to be this great general, to be this great man of war, what could the kingdom of Israel have looked at? Amen. How great could it have been? It might have been that by the time that Saul reached the end of his kingship, that the whole nation was subdued and Israel was perfected. Hallelujah. But because he saw David as a threat, he withstood him. This teaches me that I must honor the success and the strengths of others. Hallelujah. Others' strength is God's gift to you. Your partner's strength is God's gift to you. It's not his challenge to you. Somebody say amen. When my wife and I got married, you know, I thought I can do everything, and she's along for the ride. Amen. You know, I came from the place of where, you know, I'm going to control the money, and I'm, you know, I've got everything in charge. Woman, you wait. I got the money. But I learned, when there's no money, there's no honey. Amen. Hallelujah. I learned very quickly that my wife is better with money than me. Amen. She's Mrs. Discipline. Amen. I tell you, you put that money in her wallet, you give me a few thousand rand, it's gone. Amen. But you put that money in her purse. Jan van Riebeek's got tears in his eyes by the time he leaves that purse. Amen. She got discipline. Amen. You know, I'll go back to her 2-3 weeks later. So, you know, that money, oh, here it is. Amen. All accounted for. But put that money in my hand. Whew. But you know what? I had to learn that's her strength. I couldn't be intimidated by that. I needed to embrace that. Amen. And then she needed to embrace my strength because I'm kind of visionary. I wanna take that money and invest it. I wanna, you know, kind of what they say, tata my chance. Amen. Go for it. And she had to learn to trust me to do that. Amen. And then I go and I do it and I win a great victory and I come back with a lot of money and I got that money in my wallet. But as soon as I go home, there's a debit order system automatically. It all gets transferred. Hallelujah. I often say I come home as a conqueror, but then my wife is more than a conqueror. Amen. Hallelujah. But, you know, I needed her to be that. And she needed me to be who I am. Amen. And no marriage is, you know, set in concrete. It's not always the same for everybody. We need one another. Somebody say amen. You see, Saul's insecurity cost him a great general. It cost him a great ally. Amen. Love is not a competition, saints. It's a celebration of each other's strength. Hallelujah. It takes greatness to recognize and celebrate the strength of others. Amen. The bigger you are, listen. If God wants you to be great, He'll put great people around you. But if you're intimidated by them, you'll chase them away and you will stay small. Amen. I must become bigger. Hallelujah. You can see people of success surrounds themselves with people of great success. Amen. They surround themselves with people got a voice. Weak leaders need yes brothers around them. Yeah, but yeah, whatever you say. Strong leaders need strong people around them. Amen. You can't afford to be intimidated by strong people. You need them. Somebody say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You see, life is actually not a competition. I've learned this. Life is about me fulfilling what God has given me to do. And no matter how good you are, the more I strengthen you, the more I encourage you, the more I help you, the greater blessing you're going to be. Amen. And everybody's not here for me. We're all here for fulfilling God's dream for our lives. Amen. And if God's going to make you a great success, I must rejoice in that because I, in the end, need to hear God say to me, well done, good and faithful servant. You fulfilled your call. Amen. Everybody say with me, I'm not in a competition. For a marriage to be successful, there must be space for two champions. Hallelujah. Amen. You need to be big enough that you can have a strong wife. Hallelujah. Your greatness is not measured by how many people you beat. Your greatness is measured by you achieving what God's given you to do and helping others along the way. Hallelujah. And listen, this principle applies to everything in your life. Not just marriage, it applies to your business, it applies to your relationships, it applies to your family, your success, everything around you. You must be big enough to have big people in your life. Everybody lift your hands and say, God, make me big enough to have big people in my life. You see, some men are so small, they are intimidated by a strong woman. Amen. And so they make it their personal goal to cut her down. They make it their personal goal to tell her she's a nothing. Because the more she's a nothing, the more he feels he's a something. Let me tell you something. She's not a nothing. Hallelujah. You see, if you don't allow your wife to be who God called her to be, your household is impoverished. Amen. She might be the Proverbs 31 woman who gets a great idea and runs a good, strong business. Amen. And succeeds. And here you are in poverty, struggling every day, but woman must sit down. You know, many men are Peter, pumpkin eater families. Peter had a wife and couldn't keep her because he was too small. So he put her in a pumpkin shell. And there he kept her very well. Amen. He had to limit her. Amen. But you see, I want to increase. I want my wife to be everything God called her to be. I want her to fulfill her dream, fulfill her vision. Amen. I want to see greatness over there. You and I must pray, God, give me a big heart. Amen. I can't afford to be intimidated by my wife. Hallelujah. Don't let other success intimidate you. Let it inspire you. Amen. And you see, some women are also, they are so scared of complimenting their husband. Oh, he's getting a big head now. It's their personal mission to cut him down to size. And the size is smaller than me. Amen. As long as not greater than me. As long as not, no. The size is God's size. Amen. Hallelujah. His success will bless you. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, let's get rid of the insecurity. Hallelujah. Come on, let's get rid of the insecurities. Hallelujah. Be a blessing to that husband. Tell him, come on, you can do it. Amen. You know what I've learned about successful people? Actually, successful people are continuously operating in the realm that's beyond their normal capabilities. They continuously, actually, if your husband's successful, it means he's out there. It means he's in a place where he can fail at the drop of a hat. The only thing that's keeping him going is his faith. Hallelujah. Amen. And if you cut him down to size, he will fall very hard. Amen. You're not yet to cut your husband to size. Hallelujah. You're yet to build him up. Amen. You're yet to tell him you're a champion, man. Hallelujah. Pat, tell me I'm a champion. Hallelujah. Say it again. Say it again. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, I can talk all day about my successes. It's wonderful to hear when you've done great. Amen. It encourages you. Amen. It lifts you up. And so you are not in competition. I want to say it again. For a marriage to be successful, there must be space for two champions. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on now. Somebody say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on. Tell your spouse you can do it. I'm going to celebrate your success. Amen. And if you need something, I'm going to supply that so you can be a success. Hallelujah. And when you do win the victories, when you do celebrate it together, don't win the victory. Now you go sit with your chummies. Amen. Well, I got a good deal. Now you can get drunk. You're a skunk when you get drunk. Amen. Cease. I wonder what would have happened when they started singing David's praises, how he's won tens of thousands, if David had shared that honor with the king. Maybe it would have made it easier for Saul to accept him. Just saying. Amen. Celebrate your successes with each other. Hallelujah. Come on, let's pray. God, help me to recognize my partner's strength. Help me to recognize her gift. Amen. Help me to inspire her. You see, Saul was praying, God, give me a great kingdom. God, make my kingdom a great success. God, give me some people around me that will really make this thing go. Anybody but David. Amen. Lord, I want to be a great success, but use anybody but my wife. You see, what you and I need to recognize is that God has placed your spouse in your life to be a blessing, and you need that spouse to be as strong as it can possibly be. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. When last have you encouraged that spouse of yours? When last have you spoken into that dream of those? Amen. When last have you said, come on, you can do it? Hallelujah. Amen. Some women believe that they are God's nag bags. Dripping tap. All day long, drip, 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 drip. I've learned something. I never inspired my wife to change by complaining. I inspired her to change by changing myself. Amen. And by encouraging her. Hallelujah. As I say, put the right spectacles on. Amen. See the good. Speak about the good. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And I just want to close with this. God brought David into Saul's life. And it's amazing. David is a great general, brought great strength into the kingdom. David's strength made Saul's kingdom secure. And not only that, David was also the one that played the harp. So while David was in place, there was music in the house of Saul. There was harmony. There was harmony. Hallelujah. There was a wonderful atmosphere. But the moment that Saul banished the one that God put in his life to be a strength, the music left. And the Bible says a distressing spirit of the Lord came upon Saul. It's very hard, very distressing to do it yourself. Amen. Some of you need to just go to your partner, just go before God and say, God, help me. Forgive me for discouraging my partner. Hallelujah. Help me to encourage them. Hallelujah. You might not see how your partner fulfilling their dream is going to help you. But is it about helping you or is it about helping them? And the more you do that, the more God will bless you. Hallelujah. So I learned from that, driving those who are strong out of my life will make the music stop. Amen. I need strong people around me. Hallelujah. If you want to be successful, you need to learn how to handle big people. Amen. You need to learn how to not be intimidated. To let people be who they are. Hallelujah. That's what it takes. Jealousy and competition with those who God placed in your life will rob you of a blessing, will stunt your growth, will keep you in a place of defeat. Amen. The Bible says that that distressing spirit came. But something different. Jonathan, the Bible says, embraced David. He was not intimidated, but look at the difference. David is given to Saul and he brings strength to Saul. But yet, he rejects him because he's too small for the blessing. But Jonathan is so big that he enters covenant with David, even though he recognized that God has anointed David to take the kingdom. He said, David, you're going to be who you're going to be, but I'm going to be who I'm going to be. Amen. You know, I know in this house, every coin has got two sides. There's those of us who need to encourage our partners, but there's also the Davids here amongst us where people have spoken against you. Your spouse has said all kinds of things and maybe discouraged you, but never take that place. Be who God called you to be. Amen. When Jesus stood before Pilate, he said to him, you can have no authority over me unless God has given it to you. Hallelujah. Nobody has got the power. Nobody's got the ability to change who God called you to be. Nobody. I don't care who they are. If you will tap into the presence of God, if you'll tap into who God called you to be, you can succeed in your life. Hallelujah. And I've learned that the more you press into God, the more blessing you will become. And one day when you stand before the Lord, I'm not going to stand and say, Lord, I would have been great except for this woman that you gave me. I could have achieved much, except no excuses. You know, my Uncle Nick, he had a sign in his business, says any excuse is a bad excuse. And I thought at first, man, that's harsh. Any excuse is a bad excuse. I started realizing it's the truth. Amen. Never excuse yourself for bad performance. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, we all write ourselves free passes. Right? It was his fault, it was her fault, it was the economy's fault. The TV woke up the wrong side of the bed this morning. The dog bit the budgie. Therefore, I can't. And therefore, and therefore, and therefore. Nobody's got power over you. You are God's son. Hallelujah. You are his child. Hallelujah. And I don't care what they've done. Come on now. Why don't you just let the Holy Ghost heal those hurts? Take those thoughts, take those words. It's amazing how many people walk around with wounds of what their partner said to them 50 years ago. If you will just let it be broken by the blood of Jesus. And say, Lord, I am who you say I am. Hallelujah. And find the strength and the courage to be who God called you to be. Hallelujah. This is a love covenant. Amen. Anybody say with me, love, the covenant is not a competition. The covenant's between me and God. When I stand before God, I want to stand as a success. I want to stand as one who ran my race, who fulfilled my call, who did what God gave me to do. No matter what, I achieved it. Hallelujah. And I got there. Amen. The hand of the Lord is on you for good. Bump your neighbor. Tell him, I need two champions in my life. I need you to be a champion. I need you to excel. Hallelujah. And pray that God would show you. And some of you are sitting here and your spouse not even saved. You say, how does it apply to me? You be exactly that. And you will see that you'll breathe life into your marriage. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. So let us put the right glasses on. Polaroids. Cut out the glare. See the good. Amen. Focus on that. Speak about that. Build one another up in faith. And the God of peace, the Bible says, will sanctify you wholly. In other words, the Spirit of God will come and fill every area of your life and bring wholeness to you. Amen. It's never too late. Some of you sitting say, well, when? It's never too late. Today is the day. He is a resurrection God every day. He's a new beginning God every day. Everybody say, this is the day of new beginnings for me. Hallelujah. The Bible says, so Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him. And this is the covenant that we have. Hallelujah. So, Father, I thank you for each and every one here. I thank you that the covenant starts in love. Father, we pray that you put greatness in our hearts. Lord, in areas where we might have been hurt, in areas where we might have been discouraged, and we've allowed ourselves to draw back. We've allowed ourselves to become the victim. But now, Lord, we know that that does not please you. In the name of Jesus, I break every spirit, every mentality of a victim off these lives. We cancel those words. Lord, we say they have no power over me. Lord, we say today there's space in this marriage for two champions. Father, even in marriages where one has said to the other, you cannot and you will not. Father, we thank you that by your Spirit you breathe strength into these lives to be who you called them to be. I speak success and blessing over each and every marriage. I thank you, Lord, for the embracing of the covenant in this house. Father, we thank you. It's the end of competition in our homes. And it's the beginning of the fulfillment of the desires and the dreams and the purposes of our God. I bless every marriage. We bless every covenant. We thank you, Lord, that you restore the first love. That you restore that place of seeing one another, Lord, with those fresh eyes. And Lord, we thank you that this Valentine is a beautiful day. It's a day of new beginnings, Lord. Breathe breath into these families. Father, we speak a word of success over them. We thank you for households of champions. We thank you for households of men and women who are everything that you called them to be. And I bless each one. And everybody said, amen.
We trust that you were blessed by that word. Our prayer is that you are inspired to become more like Jesus. If you'd like more information about Durban Christian Center, you can visit us on our Durban Christian Center Bluff or Wentworth Facebook page, or contact us on Durban code 031-467-0457. We'd love to hear from you, so please send us a praise report or even a prayer request. Thank you, and God bless.